ahead and get started. If you're going to take your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm 63, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight, and I count that a great privilege. And it was good to be back in town for a little stretch, and I'd get to see family and be in a room with 21 people. That was it was definitely a blessing. It was a joy to be here with family, and it's joy to be here in church this morning, and just exciting to see souls being saved and people following the Lord and believers' baptism. And to get to walk around in the new auditorium and just to see what God is doing here is just such an exciting thing. One blessing that I didn't share was here on Tuesday will be 9 years. 9 years ago on Tuesday, my wife and I stood right here in this place and we exchanged vows and made it official. Amen. And so we're just excited to be back here in this place. And I know this church will always have a special place in our heart for many reasons, but for that as well. And one thing that's going to be hard, being in a new auditorium, won't be able to say that in this spot anymore unless I go into one of the classrooms or whatever it's going to be repurposed as. But I'm excited to see what God is doing. And for the past 5.5 years, my wife and I have been in Frederick, Maryland, and at Frederick Baptist Church. And getting to serve there under Dr. John C. And it's just been a great opportunity to be in the ministry. And I just look back on all the different people that had influence in my life. And I just certainly appreciate Pastor Bicklehop. I still remember the first time I met Pastor Bicklehop. He picked me up in Muskegon, Michigan. And we drove down. And I think that week I got to help a little bit with VBS. And I got to help at the fair and things like that. And so it's just a joy to be back here in this place. But Psalms chapter 63, Psalm 63, we'll begin reading here in verse number 1. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. We'll stop there for tonight. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we get into the message here in Psalm 63. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be gathered together as your people in your house. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the truths we heard this morning. And Lord, just to know that our salvation is sure, that we can have that assurance of our salvation. And Lord, what a privilege that is to have the earnest, the down payment of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just to see your goodness in our lives, Lord, we have so much to praise you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word tonight as we look here in Psalm 63. God, I pray that our hearts would be open. Lord, I pray that you would empty each of us of self and of sin. And Father, I pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that in everything that's said and done, Father, that you would just receive the honor and the glory, that Christ would be lifted up. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. In Psalm chapter 63, in verse 1, I love this verse. And be honest with you, when I first read Psalm 63, verse 1, my intent was to preach on thirsting for God. And that was kind of my idea. And I don't know, sometimes if you go in it that way, it doesn't always work out. And you can have a tendency to start making things fit into your message instead of getting the message that God wants through the passage. And so as I began to work on a message on thirsting for God, I mean, that is a good application we could draw from it. But I began to realize that there's more to it than just that. As in Psalm 63, there's more to this passage than just thirsting for God, as we see in verse 1. And as we look at Psalm 63, we know this is a Psalm of David. You see right under the Psalm 63, it says a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And so as you look at the background, you look at what is going on during this time, as you look at David's life, and you realize in verse 11, he says, but the king shall rejoice in God. So we know that David is king at this point. We know that he's in the wilderness of Judah. And if you connect all the dots, you realize that David, this is a time in David's life where he is fleeing from his own son, Absalom, who's trying to kill him and take over. So David is facing a situation right now that is a terrible situation to face. He's in a time right now that David's facing some hard situations. And it says that he's in the wilderness of Judah. David, he physically was in a desert place. Physically, David was in a desert place. So as we look at this passage, we know that David's in a place of physical need. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He's weary. He's tired. And a lot of times we get that way, don't we? We get tired. Physically, we get in situations our health is not where it needs to be, or not where we'd like it to be, and we find ourselves tired. We find ourselves in need physically. And that can affect us in a lot of ways. That can affect us spiritually. That can affect everything in our lives. When we're physically in need, that we find ourselves being affected in a lot of different areas. And that's where David was as he writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This chapter in Psalms, we find that David is in a physical desert. He physically is in need. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired, he's weary. But not only is David physically in a desert place at this time, but David also is in a desert place spiritually and emotionally. David was undoubtedly discouraged. I mean, think about the situation David faced. His own son had betrayed him. His own son is seeking his life right now. His own son defiled his God and had done wicked things, and now is following after David. As David's in the wilderness, he's not only physically in need, but David spiritually in this time was in a desert place. David was in a place where he needed God. David was in a place of discouragement. David was in a place spiritually in a desert place. As we look at Psalm 63, it's not just a matter of David thirsting for God, although we could draw that out of this passage, and what a great thing to think upon, thirsting for God. But David shows us some things here that we need. What I love about the Bible is the fact that God doesn't just share with us the victories that people face. He also shares with us the hard times, the defeats, the failures. Because all of these things we know are for our example. They're for us to live our lives by, for us to learn something from. It's for us to grow. As we look at David's life, we face situations maybe not exactly like that. I can't imagine that my son will ever try to kill me. I hope not, but it seems like he's trying to do that these days. But you know what? We may never face a situation exactly like David faced, but we will find ourselves in life. We find ourselves in desert places all the time. In life, there are ups and downs. There are times of victory. There are times of plenty. There are times of famine. There are times of desert. And when we find ourselves in spiritual deserts, how we come out on the other side depends on how we respond and the decisions we make while we're in the desert. And so as David's in a desert place, what we learn from Psalm 63 is how we should be in a desert place. What should we do? How do we survive a desert place? How do we survive those times in life where we're just discouraged? How do we survive? How do we come through on the other end victorious in times of discouragement, in times of famine, in times of being in a spiritual desert? Because that's exactly where David was. And as we look at this passage, I think it's something that we need to apply to our own lives, because we will face, if we're not in a desert right now, we're soon to be in one. If we're not in a trial right now, we'll find ourselves in one soon. And as we look back, even on 2015, I'm sure we can each go through our lives and think about times that we face desert spiritually. I'm sure there are times in any church, you look back on the year that just passed, and you see spots in the pews that are empty that once people sat. Over the years, you find that people who were with you are no longer with you. Some people don't survive the spiritual desert place. But how we can survive the spiritual desert. That's what David shows us, how to survive the spiritual desert. And we'll look at this in a couple of things just in introduction. The victorious Christian life is not a life without times in the desert, but rather is determined by our actions and choices in the desert. Our spiritual victory is not because we never face trial, we never face discouragement, we never face spiritual desert. It's all about what we do while we're in those situations. What we do when we are discouraged. What we do, decisions we make while we're in the valleys of life. David teaches us in Psalm 63 how to survive the spiritual deserts. And we'll look at a few things. First of all, David sought God. David found himself in a spiritual desert. David found himself in a time of discouragement. He found himself in a valley spiritually. And we notice that David sought God. Notice verse 1. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. So the first thing David does when he finds himself in this place of discouragement, he finds himself in this spiritual desert, is he sought God. He sought God. And there's a couple of things about the way David sought God that I think are important. Number one, David sought his God. David sought his God. Notice what he says, O God, Thou art my God. Notice he didn't say, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He didn't say, O God of my fathers. He could have said those things. He's talking about the same God. But in this moment, David didn't need the God of his fathers. David didn't need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. David needed his God. And here's the thing. If we're going to survive the spiritual desert, he's got to be your God. He's got to be your God. He can't be someone else's God. You can't seek in times of desert. You can't seek the pastor's God. He's got to be your God. Amen. You can't seek the God of your church. You've got to seek your God. And although it is the same God, what I mean by that is it's got to be personal to you. It's got to be your God. A lot of times we find where, I know I've heard the statistic before that many young people brought up in church, I think it's some I've heard before, and maybe true, maybe not, I don't know. Some 70% of young people brought up in church, by the time they turn 18, never go back to church again. 70%. Now, whether that's accurate, I'm not sure. But even for it to be close, what that means is it never became their God. He never became their God. It was the God of their parents. It was the God of their church. It was the God of their pastor. But never was it their God. If we're going to survive the spiritual desert, if we're going to survive times of spiritual discouragement and times in the valley, then He's got to be our God. And by the way, He doesn't become your God in those moments. He becomes your God before those moments. You see, David had this relationship with God to rest upon because he had sought God before that point. Before he was ever in the valley, David was working and investing in his relationship with God. David had a walk with God. If we're going to survive spiritual desert, we have to have a walk with God, not just in the valley. But we have to be investing in our relationship personally with God. If we're going to have a relationship with God to rest upon in times of discouragement. And so David sought his God. He must be our God. The personal relationship we invest in times of plenty will be the personal relationship we rely upon in the desert. We've got to be investing in our relationship and our walk with God. If we're going to survive the spiritual desert, we've got to have a walk with God. We have to have times where we spend in God's Word, where we're learning who God is and we're learning about God and we're praying and having a talk and a walk with God. That's so important. And as we invest in that in times of plenty, that relationship will be the same relationship we can rely upon in the valley. So David, not only did he seek God, but he sought his God. At some point, he's got to become our God. And when people don't survive spiritual deserts, it's because they were following the God of their pastor, or they were following the God of their parents, or they were following the God of their Sunday school teacher, but never were they following their God. Never was that relationship so personal to them that they were investing in that personal relationship that they could rely on in times of desert. So David sought God. David sought his God. Notice what else we find in verse 1. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. early will I seek thee. David sought his God early. He sought him early. Now, whether that's talking about early in the day, I don't know exactly. But I believe it. I believe more than that. I don't think it was just early in the day he's talking about. I believe he meant early in the trial. Early in the trial. David was seeking his God early in the trial. You know, a lot of times when we find ourselves in discouraging, in times of discouragement, we're in the valley, so to speak, we turn to all sorts of different things around us. We have needs around us, and we try to meet those needs on our own. And when we've run out of options, then we turn to God. God becomes our last resort. But David, he survived the spiritual desert because David sought him early. He wasn't his last resort. He wasn't the last thing David was going to try. And then see how that worked out. David sought him early. It was his first resort. It was his first option. It was his first choice. He was going to seek his God early. And if we're going to survive the desert, we've got to seek him early. When we have times physically where we have need. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go to the doctor or those things. But sometimes we leave God out of it until the doctors are out of options. Sometimes we leave God out of our finances until we can't do it anymore. Sometimes we leave God out of our life circumstances until we've run out of options and we've run out of solutions and we've run out of places to turn to, and then we turn to God. When the whole time, a lot of times the reason for the trial in the first place was so that we had learned to seek Him early. Yeah. And I wonder how much heartache we would miss in life if we just turned to Him early. If we just sought Him early. If we sought Him in our relationships early. David sought his God. Not only did he seek his God, but he said, early will I seek thee. I think early in the trial, David sought his God. It wasn't a last resort. David sought him early. And the same thing is true. If we're going to survive the spiritual desert, we have to seek him early. He cannot be our last resort. Instead of turning to other things in life around us and other people in life around us, although those things can be useful and God can use people around us to be a blessing. Instead of doing all of that, we should turn to God early. We should seek Him early. And that's what David did. Not only did David, as he sought God, did he seek his God, and he sought Him early. But David sought the presence and the person of God, and not just His benefit. David wasn't... Think about the situation David found himself in. David needed a lot of things. David was in a time of need. David needed rest. David needed peace. David needed joy. David, he needed all these things that God could meet the need for, right? But notice what David said. He didn't say he wasn't seeking after those things. He wasn't seeking after the peace God has to offer. He wasn't seeking after the joy that God has to offer. He wasn't seeking after the rest that God had to offer. Notice what David said. He said, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." David was seeking the person and the presence of God rather than just the benefit that He has to offer. We find ourselves in times where we need peace. But do we go to God just for that peace, or do we go to God regardless of whether we get peace or not? God wasn't a spiritual vending machine. That David just put a prayer in and choose A9 for peace or something like that. It wasn't a spiritual vending machine. God, he was seeking the presence and the person of God. He, not one time did he ask for God to meet the need that he faced. He just asked for God. Not one time did he ask for rest. He just asked for God. Not one time did he seek after resolution to the problem he was in. He sought God. He was seeking the presence and the person of God rather than just the benefit that God had to offer. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we find ourselves in situations where God is a spiritual vending machine. Where we know that we need God for this, so we'll go to Him because we need this. But what if we don't get that? What if we don't get what we're asking for? What if we don't get what we're after? David was more concerned about the presence of God. He was more concerned about the person of God. and being close to God than he was about resolution to the problem he was in. He sought the person in the presence of God, not the benefit he had to offer. You see, the things that God brings into our lives, the benefits that we get from following God, those are a byproduct. They're not the prime product. The prime product is God Himself. It's His presence. It's getting to know the God of heaven. And as a byproduct, He offers peace. We get to know God, and as a byproduct, we have joy. We get to know God, and as a byproduct, He blesses us with things that we don't deserve. But David, he wasn't seeking. He said, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee." He was concerned. He was seeking after not the benefit God could bring into his life. He was seeking after the person in the presence of God. And when we find ourselves in times of trouble, are we willing to seek after God and His presence in our life? It's hard not to just be concerned about the peace that He's going to bring, or the joy that He's going to bring, or the rest that He's going to bring. We need to seek the presence and the person of God rather than just the benefits that He has to offer. So we find as David survived the spiritual desert, we find that he did so by seeking God. He sought his God. He sought Him early. And he sought the person and the presence of God rather than just the benefit that God had to offer. Not only did David seek God, though, David praised God. David praised God. When we find ourselves in times of desert, are we willing to praise God in those times? You see, David, as he praised God in the present circumstance. Look at verse 3. He says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." David could have been angry at God. David could have been angry at his situation. David could have been so discouraged that he just threw up his hands and gave up and said, "I quit. If this is what following God gets me, then I quit." But David, even in the midst of his present circumstance, even though his own son was seeking his life and his own son wanted to kill him and take over, even in that present circumstance, David was willing to praise God. David still had something to praise God about, even in that situation. He's tired, he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's discouraged. He's in the midst of his trial. David still had something to praise God about. David praised God in the present circumstance. Regardless of our present circumstance, we have so much to praise God for. Regardless of our present circumstance, it doesn't matter what we face in life. Regardless of what we face in life, no matter how bad the situation may be, we still have something to praise God for. If you have Christ as your Savior, you have so much to praise God for. You know, we could turn around like Job and lose everything in a day. And we still have something to praise God for. It doesn't matter the present circumstance. And that's a blessing to know. That it doesn't matter what happens in life, no matter how deep the valley we go through in life, we still have something to praise God for. We still have something to thank God for. As a person who's been saved, as my sins have been washed away, I have an eternal home in heaven, I don't care what I face in life, I still have something to praise God for. He got his eyes off of his present circumstance and got his eyes on the God of his circumstance. He got his eyes off of himself and off of his need, and he turned his eyes upon his God who has so richly blessed him. And as we face trials, we face spiritual deserts, we still have something to praise God for. And when we find that people give up or they fall away because of discouraging circumstances, it's because at some point they were never able to get their eyes off of their circumstance and get their eyes on their Savior and on their God. And if we're going to survive the spiritual desert, we have to praise God in the present circumstance. We have to be able to get our eyes off of our circumstance and get them on God. And if you're saved, you're born again, then you have so much to thank God for, no matter what valley you find yourself in. So David praised God in present circumstance. Here's the thing, God is worthy of our praise. You know, He's worthy of our praise in times of plenty. He's worthy of our praise.
In times of trial, He's worthy of our praise. In times of gain, He's worthy of our praise. In times of loss, He's worthy of our praise. You know, in times of victory, He's worthy of our praise. In times of tragedy, He's worthy of our praise. There's not a moment that goes by in any day we face that God is not worthy of our praise. David survived the spiritual desert because David praised his God in present circumstance. Not only did he praise Him in present circumstance, David praised God in past remembrance. Look at verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David was able to look back on all the things that God had done for him. David was able to take his eyes off of his troubles and take his eyes off of his present situation and look in the past and remember all the goodness of God in his life. Remember all the things that God had done for him and all the things that God had met needs in his life in the past. And he was able to rest upon those things. It says in verse 6 again, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, in the shadow of his wings, he was able to rejoice. He was able to praise God in past remembrance. David remembered the faithfulness of God. David remembered the blessings of God. David remembered how God had met his need time and time again. God was so faithful to David. And David was able to praise God in past remembrance. Not only was he able to praise God in present circumstance and past remembrance, but David praised God regardless of future outcome. Regardless of future outcome. Back to verse 3, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Remember what David's facing here. David wasn't just in a discouraging time. David's life was in danger. His own son wanted to kill him. And it's not the first time David had been in a situation like that. His life was in danger. If God didn't come through and God didn't meet the need that David faced, David was going to die. But notice what David says. I think it's interesting that this is what is said. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. David could have been seeking after his own life at this point, right? He could have been asking God, God, protect me. God, save my life. And I don't think David was necessarily as fearful of his son as fearful as he was that he'd have to kill his own son. But David's life was in danger. And what David is saying, he said, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Because God, your loving kindness is better than what I need. My lips shall praise thee. Even God, if you don't meet the need that I face, I'm still going to praise you. Even Lord, if you don't come through in this circumstance, I'm still going to praise you. God, if you don't meet my physical need, I'm still going to praise you. God, if you don't heal my relative, I'm still going to praise you. God, if you don't meet my financial need, God, I'm still going to praise you. That's what David was saying. He faced a situation where his life was in danger. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. David was praising God, not only in the present circumstance and in past remembrance, but David was praising God regardless of future outcome. Is God on trial in our lives? Is God on trial? Is what God does in our life dependent? Does whether we serve God rest upon what He does? Is He on trial? That, God, if you don't meet this need, I'm never going back. God, if you don't come through in this, I give up. That wasn't the case in David's life. That wasn't the case in David's situation. But when God is on trial in our lives, we face things that we don't understand. We face situations that we don't understand. Why, God, why didn't you do this? And we give up on God because He's still on trial. Because we're not willing to praise Him regardless of future outcome. David was willing to praise God regardless, whether God met the need or not, whether God protected his life or not. He said that because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And notice what he says. Thus will I bless thee while I live. If I'm going to die, I'm going to bless you until I die. God, if you don't come through, you're not going to come through as I'm praising you. And if we're going to survive the spiritual desert, God can't be on trial in our lives. We have to be willing to regardless of what happens, regardless of whether or not God answers the prayer the way that we are praying it, or the way that we feel like He should, we've got to be willing to praise Him regardless of the future outcome. And David survived the spiritual desert because he praised God regardless of future outcome. David sought God. David praised God. And lastly, as we finish here, David trusted God. Notice in verse 7 again, "Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." David trusted God for strength. David was resting in the Lord, allowing God to hold him up. David wasn't resting upon his own strength. He wasn't resting upon his own ability to meet the need that he faced. He wasn't resting on his position or anything like that. David was resting on God. David's trust was in God. He said, again, "Thy right hand upholdeth me. In the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice." He was in a situation of trust where he was saying, "God, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust You for it. And I'm going to praise You regardless." David was trusting God for strength. And lastly, David trusted God for provision. Look at verse 11, "But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." David was trusting in God's provision. David was trusting that God was going to meet the need. He said, "God, I'll praise You if You don't, but I'm trusting that You will." And when we face hard times, when we face times of discouragement, when we face times of spiritual desert, do we seek God? Do we seek Him as a last resort? Or do we seek Him early? Are we willing to praise God in those circumstances? Are we willing to praise God when not everything is going the way that we feel like it should? Are we willing to praise God when God's not answering our prayer the way that we feel like He should? Are we trusting God? Are we trusting Him for strength? Are we trusting Him for provision? Are we resting in the shadow of His wings? David survived the spiritual desert. And we will face spiritual desert. We all do. And how we respond to those times will determine how we come on the other end. Whether we give up on God or we stay faithful through trial will be dependent upon whether or not we are willing to seek God, praise God, and trust God in our present circumstance. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this night, and we thank You for the blessings that we have.